Welcome back. This is Monica's Apparel and Accessories Halftime Report. The Bold Warriors leading the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks 15-6 at the half. We'll go through some of the stats and scoring in a little bit with Dwayne Halstead. But right now we have a special guest in the studio, in the press box with us, a friend that I've known for a long time, Joe Brown of the West Central Tribune out of Wilmer. Thanks for coming up. I'll get you out of the elements down there, Joe.
Yeah, it's been a little windy, but, you know, it's good we finally do this. First time, long time for me.
Yeah, you're the sports editor out at the West Central Tribune?
Sports reporter.
Reporter, okay.
Yep.
And you were in Marshall before that, right?
Yep, I was in Marshall from 2010 to 12, then hopped over across the state over to Red Wing, and long story short, found my way back over to this part of the state.
I am glad you're here. You're one of the best sports writers. I read your stuff every day. You do a great job.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, your thoughts on the first half here?
You know, it's been pretty fun seeing how these teams have kind of countered each other. You know, it's been a lot of bit of a defensive battle, especially both teams struggling to really kind of establish their run up the middle. Both teams be finding their best success going to the outside. And the run game seems like it slowed down a little bit for them with the injury to the quarterback, Jordan Sagadol. I know he's got his right ankle taped up. And
heavy tape. Looks like a half.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of taken away that little bit of an element. But, you know, both teams are kind of struggling to throw the ball in this high wind. So, it'll be interesting to see how either one of these offenses are able to kind of find their footing here in the second half.
The turnovers hurt the Blackjacks during the first half, definitely, right?
Yeah. You know, especially in that last drive there in the first half, you're able to, you know, start chipping away and getting some yards there in bull territory, and unfortunately the ball ends up in Blake Plass's hands for the Warriors.
Yeah. Well, I've asked Joe to come up in the press box because a week or two ago he wrote a wonderful article on the NUCK family in the Tribune. Appreciate you doing that. Dawson, the community really appreciated that, Joe.
Well, thank you. And, at the end of the day, I just want to make sure I did that story justice. I remember hearing about it shortly after I left Marshall, and, very heartbreaking story for the Dawson Boyd community and the NUCK family. And, thankfully, Coach Larson and Josh and his mother Irene were willing to talk, and like I said, I just totally did that story justice, and hopefully it was kind of a therapeutic thing for the family as well.
Yeah, it was a very well written story.
Thank you.
Did you get to sit down with Coach Larson and Irene? And
I actually talked to Coach Larson and Irene on the phone, and then Josh. It's kind of a funny story actually. When I went to the school right before the game against Lakeview last Wednesday, and we were trying to find a place to do the interview. It was, the NBA week, so there wasn't a lot of teachers or anything in the building. The only place we could kind of find that was secluded without teachers, like, packing up stuff was the auditorium in Dawson Boyd.
Oh.
So it was like, so you're sitting on top of the stage with a couple chairs, and it felt like doing either a one-act play or, like, if you were to put a table in the middle, it'd look like a scene out of, like, a police interrogation movie.
Right.
So the interview was nothing like that, and Josh was, one of the brightest and most well-spoken kids I've had the pleasure of interviewing here in about 10 years of a career.
Yeah. Of course, Josh's older brother, Michael, passed away suddenly, and it was very heartbreaking for all of us here in the Dawson Boyd community. I know Josh thinks about him every day, he said. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious when he's out in the football field wearing the number four, putting the number four up in the air during pregame intros, and he didn't mention that he thinks about his brother more than he thinks people kind of really know about him. But I think a lot of the personality that he showcases off the field, as far as being a friendly, affable kid, I think that's a direct correlation to his brother. And as far as being a football player, Coach Larson said he can see like some of that similar run style between the two, but
that Michael had.
Yeah, exactly. And I know Josh's goal was, in some sense, to be better than his brother as far as football went. And, Coach Larson said as much, that he thinks he's probably a better all-around football player. So, high praise from a coach who's got state credentials and, for a very talented kid who, up to this point in the season, has really carried the Blackjacks, especially in the offensive end.
Yeah, that's right. And you visited with Josh, Michael's mother, Irene, one of the nicest people around, right?
Well, I got to talk to her on the phone a little bit.
Yeah.
Very kind lady. You never know with interviews with tough stories like that how parents are going to react. Like, you know, it's always tough to talk to somebody if they're, like, crying or anything, but, you know, it's been 5 years since Michael's passing, and, you know, I think the family has kind of put things into a, you know, perspective that they still celebrate his life as often as they can. And,
right.
You know, it's just...
And they want to talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like she was a great kid. You know, that was just taken, unfortunately, quicker than any of us would have ever wanted to, and, yeah, there's plenty to celebrate about the kid, and...
I got a good story about Michael. This is how kind he was. You know, every time he saw me, he'd always say, "Hello, Mr. Ramo. Hi, Mr. Ramo." And I always stop him. I said, "Michael, all the other kids call me Paul. You can call me Paul. That's okay." And then that big smile he had was just awesome. And the big smile Michael had, he'd look at me and go, "Okay, Mr. Ramo."
Yeah,
a lot of respect. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know a point that Josh made to me during the interview was, like, he's a guy that, like, really appreciates small things, whether it's, you know, a handshake or holding the door open or just those little things that sometimes people just kind of take for granted with the whole Minnesota Nice thing, but I think it really reflects positively on him with, you know, how much he sees those things and has an appreciation for them instead of just thinking it's just a part of everyday life.
Yep. Well, once again, we really appreciate you doing that story. It was a well-written, wonderfully done, and, well, it kind of went viral in our area, anyway, on my social media sites.
Yeah.
A lot of shares, a lot of likes.
I remember kind of keeping tabs on it that next morning. You know, as tough as a story that is, that's one that's exciting for us writers to do. Kind of breaks the kind of typical gamers and all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, to see it skyrocket the way it did, it's humbling. And I appreciate all the kind words and everything I've been given from, you know, people not just in the Dos Moines community, but West Central Minnesota in general.
Yep. All right. Well, Joel, we're happy to have you back in the area. Are you enjoying your time back in our area, in Wilmer area?
Yeah, I am. It's
you're doing the sports beat thing.
Doing the sports beat thing, and it's like, you know, some things are kind of unfamiliar with different teams that I cover between, you know, working in Marshall as a part-timer in St. Cloud once upon a time as well. And, you know, a team like Bold, I didn't get to really see too many times, just heard about them. And, you know, it's been nice to kind of mix the old with the new as far as coverage goes.
That's right. Joe and I got to know each other when he was at the Marshall Independent. Covered a lot of games in the RE facility, haven't we?
Indeed, and then when I went to Red Wing, I was one of the few papers in the state that I went to go cover state dance as well. And I know Paul's a regular there as well with the talent there with, like, Dos Moines, Lacapara Valley, and Montevideo. So, yeah, we've blazed the trails at the same time many a times throughout the years.
Yeah, we do state dance together, one of the few, right?
Exactly.
That sport's really taken off, hasn't it?
It has. You know, it's still unfamiliar territory with me. I don't think I'll ever quite understand the scoring system with it. Trying to educate myself the best way I can. You know, some of the music I still can't quite embrace, but hey, teach his own.
All right. Hey, I love your videos you guys do at the Tribune, too, and your social media sites. You guys do a super job up there, and keep it up.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, just hang on here for a little bit.
Sure.
That'll wrap up our Monica's Apparel Accessories Halftime Report. And, we'll be back in a couple minutes. Dwayne and I will go over to some stats and some of the scoring in the first half. We're at halftime here in Olivia, 15-6, Bold leading Dawson Boyd.